I'm going to introduce you to the one who introduced me to that saying. Or am I supposed to let Marge go too? Or what do you? I'll let you do it. You can do whatever you want. So, no, I'm talking to Chris that he can do what he wants. Okay. She'll do something tomorrow. Haha. Keep you in suspense. Well, brother. Chris Grinzy, give him welcome.
I don't think so. It's always a pleasure to be back in this house and back with you guys, and so I'm thrilled to be here with you. So I just like to give a couple greetings today. So I have Dustin and Kim Christensen here, count them very dear friends from Peace River, and Chris and Sherry. So great to spend time with you guys yesterday, was it? Gee, I'm losing track of time. And great to reconnect with you guys. And of course, you know, I love Pastor Corey and Jennifer and appreciate them so much. And he's been so faithful to constantly travel down, spend time with us and be with us. And I really do appreciate his massive effort in doing that. That, you know, traveling is not glamorous. It is a pain. And I don't know, I'm 6'1", and the seats are getting closer and tighter, and they're just trying to eke the money out of those jets, and it's like, it's not nice. But we thank God we have the ability to travel across the globe, and I was thinking about Apostle Paul suffering his way across the world of the day in a ship for 3 months to get somewhere. I think, wow, that's just nuts. So we shouldn't complain, right? Things are actually getting better. And I'm thankful to spend time with Murray and Ansi to at your house for dinner. Thank you for hosting us. Really, all these trips I've made here, and it's the first time I think you've ever been in a meeting where I've been there. I don't remember meeting you ever in a meeting. So I says, wow, I finally met you. You exist. And so nice to see you. Well, real pleasure for all of you. That a lot of you, I know you by faith, and I appreciate this house and the people in it and for what God has in mind. So I was talking this morning at our, you know, we had a brunch and downstairs, and I was talking about just a little bit about the difference between knowledge and revelation. And tonight I really hope that you'll get a revelation of the language of Elohim. The language of Elohim. Now, I can give you the knowledge of it. That's my job, to convey the truth. So knowledge is an important thing. I don't know if you know, but in the Hebrew language, they have pictographs. There's no words in the Hebrew language. It's actually pictographs. So they'll have eyes or canes or yokes, and how you link these pictographs together makes up different words. So there's this one word in Hebrew, and it's a doorway and an eyeball. What do you suppose they translated that? So a doorway and an eyeball, they translated it knowledge. So knowledge gives you the ability to see into a doorway of something that's on the other side. So you open the door, and your eye can see in. That's knowledge. So knowledge gives you access. It does not give you the goods. It only gives you access. It makes you see the potential. Okay, the church is full of potential. But we need the church full of encounters. Okay, so if I'm going to go from potential to encounter, I have to go from knowledge to revelation. So revelation, according to the scriptures, is a supernatural disclosure. Okay, so like the Apostle Paul was caught away to the third heaven and heard words inexpressible or never been uttered before. He heard words that nobody knew. He heard words, it says, which were unlawful to be spoken. Unlawful according to what? According to Jewish law. So remember, he was a Jew under the law. He gets caught away, and Jesus starts revealing to him. He says in another place in Galatians, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it by man, but by a supernatural disclosure from Jesus Christ. So when he was caught away, Jesus was teaching him and speaking to him about the things that nobody had ever heard or known. Jesus didn't even talk about it when he was on the earth. And so Paul came back and talked about righteousness, faith without works. He talked about, in other words, having righteousness without works and having works because of faith, not for faith. And he talked about the fact that we are sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. And so Paul started talking about language that the earth had never heard before, because he was caught away and he had a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was communicating these truths to him. And then he went and he declared these things to the apostles of the day. And they were astounded. They said, Peter said, many of the things, like the other scriptures, that Paul says, are hard to understand, but are just as good as the other scriptures. So you think about it, that Paul had a supernatural disclosure. So I want you to know, knowledge is a door that your eye can see into. So you can peek in there and go, oh, that's what's in there. Oh, that's what that's about. Oh, that's what Christianity is. Oh, that's why we're the church. You can see in through knowledge. So just because you can't see, not to be redundant, does not mean you participate. But if you have a supernatural disclosure from Jesus Christ, now it's empowered sight into that realm where he charges you with it and it imparts it to you and you carry it away. You know, that door is still there of knowledge, but you now carry it with you. We have to become carriers of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what transforms people's lives. I can honestly say I've learned a lot of Bible in my life. And a lot of Bible did not set me free. But a lot of revelation did. Whenever it became a revelation to me where Jesus made it real to me, that was a life-transforming type of thing. So when I'm reading the Bible, sometimes I'm reading. I'm just taking in knowledge. And knowledge is good. It's a doorway. I can see, oh, that's what that's about. That's what that's about. But then suddenly, when I'm reading the Bible, bang, Jesus reveals something to me. I'm like, oh, and I could feel the strength of heaven supporting that, the backing, my spirit's a craving to enter into that thing and know it. And that is the transforming power of the Word of God. So I pray tonight that this message that I'm speaking today, that it will help bring about transformation in your life. And not just pack it on as another, oh, we know that. Now we know that. Okay, so I want to talk to you about the language of Elohim. Elohim is another one of those names for God. You can find it in the book of Hebrews. You can find it in 1 Corinthians as well, where Paul said, whether I speak in the tongues of men or of angelos, he says, if I have love, I'm nothing. So there's tongues of angels and there's tongues of men, okay? So there's tongue of angels. So if you take that quote back to the Old Testament, it says the tongue of Elohim and the tongue of men, okay? So in the New Testament, it goes to angelos. So angelos is an interesting word because it can be God, angels, messenger. But if you go to Elohim, it's God. It's interesting. So there's a language of God. So I'd like to start in the book of Acts, if you would, if you got your Bible. So first, before I get there, I just want you to say, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, you're here. Okay. So I want you to know that you're welcome to participate. All the promises of God are yes. Add your amen. Say your amen. So amen means I agree. And so you can even say, I agree. And yes, praise God. Or that's mine. Wow, that's good. See, God wants to impart stuff to you. He's not trying to itch your ears. He's trying to transition and transfer kingdom to your heart, to your life. I want to be a carrier. So in Acts chapter 1, it says in Acts 1, I just want to grab my glasses if I could. Acts I always believe I can see without it, and then I can't. And then, like Corey, I know what you mean. Sometimes I'll look, and I can see perfectly clear. It's really strange. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the former accounts I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles but whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's obviously leading up to revealing some things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and we are now members of the kingdom of God. There's a scripture that says, the kingdom of God, Jesus said to his disciples, is not by observation. You cannot see it, but it's in the heart. Jesus said it to them. The kingdom I'm bringing is in the heart. It's not by observation. So we should never look to Jerusalem for Jesus to come down in Jerusalem. It is an observable kingdom. He said you cannot see the kingdom of God. So we kind of got distracted with ideas about something that people think is going to happen instead of listening to the commander who said you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. Okay? So you have to start adding up some of the things Jesus said. He says, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Now this word wait is relational expectancy. It doesn't mean to wait. It means to stand expectantly for what I'm going to do. For the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they heard this, they had come together and asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive or accept power. This is miraculous intervention. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, people can quote this scripture, but the reality is we have to understand Jesus saying, when my kingdom comes, when I establish my kingdom, because he's going to take his blood to the Father, put it on the mercy seat, a war is going to break out in heaven, and Satan's going to get kicked out of the heavenly realm, and the angels will prevail over him, and he's cast to the earth. And then a cry in heaven says, now salvation and strength, the kingdom of God and his Christ, the power of that kingdom has come. And so Jesus says, when my kingdom comes, when that happens, then the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's why he said in John 16, it's better for you that I go away. For if I don't go, the Spirit won't come. It's better that I'm not here. It's better that you have the power of the Spirit that's driving me in you. And so it's important then for us to know God wants his people to have the power of the Spirit. He wants his people to have the power of the Spirit. So you can say, well, that's for the pastor, or that's for the elders, or that's for the leaders, and it is, but it's also for you. He wants his people to be empowered. Christianity is about empowerment. Christianity is about revolution. It's a revolution from heaven coming upon our spirit man and transforming us, and so God wants us to have that power. So I'm praying tonight that you're going to get a supernatural disclosure of what's being taught, not just hear knowledge. So if you can look in and go, oh, is that what he wants? That's cool, Pastor Chris. Thanks for telling us that. That's not what I'm after. I'm after a supernatural disclosure. That Jesus, do you know Jesus is here? You might be waiting for him to return, but he's here. In fact, he said plainly, I and the Father are going to come and build our home inside of you. And that's what makes the kingdom of God happen. His presence in us. Maybe you can quote this scripture with me. It's in Colossians. It says, Christ in me. The hope of a reputation. Okay, so my new reputation, glory, doxa means reputation. Glory, glory is not hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Glory means reputation in Greek. So Jesus, it's Christ in me, the hope of a reputation. So I have a new reputation from Christ. The reputation of a man with power. How about you? Okay, so you have to see yourself the way he sees you. You have to receive from him what he has for you. Jesus is not an example for us, but of us. He's the eldest brother. He's the firstborn. We're those who are coming after him. You can look at his life and know what your life's supposed to look like. He is the model of the new creation. You are the new creation that he has caused to come to pass. So I like to look at Jesus and say, if you can do it, I can do it. I don't say, well, that was Jesus. I can't do it. No, I say, he did it. He opened the door. It's open now. So there's many examples in the Bible where he says, you can do what I do. All right, so then let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. So a little bit of familiar scripture, and then I want to take you into maybe a new spot for you to think about. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Does anybody think there's any coincidences in the fact that it was the same day as Pentecost? Pentecost is the first fruits offering of the Jews, and that means that the first fruit under Jewish law was a shadow and a type of that which was going to come in Christ. So Christ is here now. Here it's the Jewish day of the feast of the tabernacle, or of the Pentecost, which is the first fruits, and here comes the first fruits of the new kingdom that Jesus is bringing. So that's what it's about. So that was the shadow. This is the reality. So you should see then that Pentecost under the Jews was a shadow symbolic situation about the Holy Ghost being the first fruits on the people coming upon them and empower them. So that's me. That's you. We should have our Pentecost moment. We should have our Pentecost lifestyle. We should be the first fruits of our day of what the Holy Spirit's doing. Okay? And so he says, the day had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I have retranslated all this, but I don't think I'll take time with it tonight. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were gathering, or they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues. It's funny, this word speak is actually, they all began to declare. There's a difference between speaking and declaring. It's a big difference. If I just start talking, that's one thing. If I start declaring, that's another. The declaration is a sense of authority came upon them because the Spirit of God got on them and gave them a voice to declare things from the heavenly realm. And so this can be very, very powerful as it translates into your life. I'll read you, because what I did is I went through all the Greek words. I'll read you some of what it actually says in the Greek. Expectantly, there came a loud echo from the eternal realm, which carried the mighty respiratory breath, and it diffused and influenced throughout the whole household where they were residing. Then there appeared to them divided language as of fire, and it settled upon each of them one by one, and everyone was influenced by the sacred breath of God. And each one began to declare with a different language or a different tongue as the breath of God granted them to speak the truth. It's a radical, when you look underneath the translation to the actual Greek language of what they were talking about, that the author was speaking about a radical infusion. It was started with a breath of God. So you might look at the Holy Spirit like some person or something that comes and goes, but the Holy Spirit is more powerful than what we've ever thought before. It is God himself breathing on the people so that his spirit gets initiated out of him and into his new kingdom people. And when the spirit of the Father gets on you, then the nature of the Father grabs a hold of you. And when the nature of the Father comes upon you, the creative force that's in him is the creative force in you. And this is what the Holy Spirit's about. I don't just have some spirit on my life. I have the spirit of my Father. He granted me access to his spirit, and his spirit is at work in me so long as I allow it to work. The thing is, with the kingdom of God, nothing works except by faith. Anybody? Help me. Okay. So if nothing works by faith, and you don't have faith, or you don't use the faith that comes to you, then it falls to the ground, and you're outside of the door looking in with an eyeball, and you have knowledge. You go, wow, that's cool. God echoed out of heaven, his breath hit, and the power hit them. Wow, that's great, Pastor Chris. Man, he didn't even know that. That's really cool. And this force, and it happened, it went one by one upon each one of them until every single one of them got touched by the Spirit. Wow, that's cool. It doesn't even say that in some translations, but I can see in the Greek it's there. Wow, that's exciting. All right, let's have coffee. So we get our coffee, and we're like, I didn't know that thing about the echo. But look, you know, the reason God raises up crazy people to preach is to incite a riot. Yeah, I'll try a different angle. He wants to incite something inside you. He wants you to get so worked up about the fact that why am I denied access to what those people had access to the degree you say, I can see it, I want it, God, bring it to me. And that faith triggers something in your life. And that's when God starts breathing on it, that's when it becomes a supernatural disclosure. And you get ripped by God. And all of a sudden, you're not the person you were. All of a sudden, you can't fit in the space you're in. All of a sudden, you're not silent in the store. You're not silent at the workplace. You can't be quieted. I remember when this stuff started happening to me years ago. I was an engineer at this company, mechanical engineer, and I was there. And everybody is using the name Jesus Christ all the time. So I started talking about Jesus, and I couldn't hold back. I started telling the guys about Christ at break and telling them at lunch and whatever. And my boss came to me one day, he goes, you got to stop talking about Jesus Christ. I said, I'll stop when they stop. He was like, what? Oh. And he walked away. Good, we'll keep going. But what happened was, prior to that, I didn't want to lose my job. Prior to that, I didn't want to not get a raise. Prior to that, I was a good old American boy who wanted to get promoted, wanted to have a good job, wanted to have a good car, wanted to feed my family, I wanted good things to happen, and that's not bad. But the fact is that Jesus Christ purchased me out of this world, and when a revelation broke through into my spirit, all of a sudden I couldn't stay silent anymore. Something in me got launched. Something in me got lit. God wants to light something inside of you. You understand? That's what this is about. He wants you to hear his will for you in Christ Jesus so that you'll say yes. Yeah. You don't have to do a lot. You just have to allow him access by faith. Maybe you could say, I might believe this. So I'd be nice to you. I didn't even say believe. I said you might. Okay. So can we go back to Genesis 11? So does anybody know the first thing that God said to Adam? Do you know? Anybody? Yeah, he said... Well, it could be debatable what he said first, but one of the things he said first was, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, right? Is that what he said? My wife agrees with me. All right, so that's good. But this is how he said it. Shaka bora mokusake ramamazaguti. And Adam said, kusakata? people, English was not invented for thousands of years when God spoke to Adam. He did not speak English. What language do you suppose they spoke? The heavenly language. They were speaking the heavenly language. You know, when God made mankind, there was only one language in all the earth, and it was God's. Right. It was the heavenly language. It was the language of Elohim. The language of the leader of everything, the creator of everything. When he spoke, let there be light, shokotate. He didn't say let there be light. He spoke in his language. So let's read chapter 11. This is kind of exciting for me. So it says, now the whole earth had one language and one accent speech. The whole earth had one language. It's in the Bible. And it wasn't English. It wasn't French. It wasn't one of the Baltic speeches. It was not something from Europe. It wasn't from Africa. It wasn't American. Did you know American and English are two different things? You know when I learned that? When I started preaching in England and they didn't know what I was saying. I was like, I'm speaking English. And I thought, no, I'm not. Because this one person goes, what's God? And someone goes, God! And they went, the whole Congress went, oh! They didn't even know I was talking about God. God. But a lot of other things. I listened to guys straight face-to-face talk back and forth in English, and I didn't know what they were talking about. It was just like listening to French or something. I was like, what did you guys just say? Oh, sorry. Saying all this stuff. And then I said a word, and they go, don't say that. So the words that we say are swear words over there. And I was like, how is that a swear word? Oh, we don't want to say it. They're laughing. And they said, and then one guy said to me, Chris, wouldn't it be lovely if it took you to buy some teapots for your daughters? I was like, can't you say that more manly? I said, so we went and bought teapots. My kids still have years later. But I started realizing that about language. You think you know because you know a language. You think you know something. But when you realize that God did not speak our language, he spoke his. And Adam understood him. And the whole earth spoke one language with one accent. Isn't that amazing? You can go down to South Carolina and say, hey, brother, how are you? You know, and it's like, wow, it's thick. In fact, these two people came from South Africa to my yard, and his wife got out of the car, and she goes, yeah, from South Carolina. And she says, hey there, how you all doing? And I says, wow, that's an amazing accent. And her husband goes, I told you, you had a strong accent. Wow. And the other guy says, he's my road dog. I'm like, so one accent. They didn't even have Southern and Northern. They had one language with one accent, and it was from heaven. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. So, goes on to say, verse 2, and it came to pass, they journeyed from east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now, Shinar is a country of two rivers. Later, it became known as the Babylonian Empire of the Chaldeans. Okay? Later it did. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make brick and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. That word in the Hebrew for let us make a name is let us build ourselves a reputation. But the Lord came down to see the city of the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. Now this is church growth program. Yeah. Become one and have the same language. That's how you make advancements in the kingdom of God. Unity is the power that builds kingdom. Division is that which the devil used to tear it down. So I've made a purpose in my heart and mind to not carry division anymore in my life, because I want to build and not tear down. He says, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they supposed to do will be withheld from them. Now, this says, so God, you know, let us go down. I want you to know it does not say that in Hebrew. This let us, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, it doesn't say let us make man our image. Both times it's not in the Hebrew. These are added words. These are more symbols. And the first symbol is a man, where it says the first word of verse 7, come. That word come. The symbols for that word is actually a man standing there like this, in awe. And the next symbol is a tent. And he's in awe. A tent means a tent or a household, a family. And God was like, looking at the family of men. And he was in awe. Behold. So he's actually saying, behold, in awe. What are they doing? The next word, where it says, let us go down, which is not in there at all. Those are man-made words that they added to the Bible, which are not there in Hebrew. Those words are the head of a man, and it is the door of a tent. And it literally means a man going through a door. So that's how they translate it, that when you see those symbols, a man's going through a door. So God's going, behold, the family of men, I'm going through that door. I have to go in there and do something about it. So God was going in to do something about this disaster that was about to happen. He had to break it up to save men from them building a reputation outside of him, because it will all come to nothing and fail. Everything God does is redemptive, and you got to know that. Can you say God is redemptive? All correction in the body of Christ is redemptive. God has always tried to restore people, not to punish them. He wants to restore. And so God was seeing this, and he says, I will go down, and I will change this, and I will confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the whole face of the earth. Well, there's one thing interesting to note here, is that Babylon eventually did rise from this place. And Babylon is the confused culture and a confused reputation, and it's princes and leaders and great leaders saw themselves as God. It's amazing. From this very place rises Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted to be worshipped as God. And God struck him, and he went around like a beast on the ground. And God humbled him and eventually came back to his senses. So from that land came many confusing things. Okay, so God never allowed that nation to ever stand as an eternal nation, or as a thing that would continue forever. But the people got scattered. Why they got scattered? Well, it's interesting. I would have loved to have seen how it happened. But when God changed their languages, he didn't say put this group over here and change their language, and put that group over there and change their language. He changed their language. So all of a sudden you're like, Musa Kaba, Ja-ba. Oh, I don't know. Shakaba, look, they must have been walking around trying, and oh, you, I understand you. And it must have, that group must have pushed off because they could hear each other to understand each other, and another group that way, and another, and they were scattered, they were separated because division and confusion causes the destruction of a unified purpose. Are you with me? See, these things aren't a battle for nothing. God's trying to show us that I want to build unity and singularity of language, because there's where the power is that I'm going to flow through. Except this is not going to be a counterfeit of man trying to build some reputation. This is me building my reputation in my body, in my people. We're a peculiar nation, a holy people, separate unto God, being built together, a holy temple unto the Lord. So we're a holy nation. We are a holy ethnic group. Did you know that that's the word in the Greek for a nation is ethnos? We're a holy ethnic group. It doesn't matter what tribe we're from in the earth. We have received Christ in our heart, and now we've become our own ethnic group of believers. And that's something to celebrate. So we should celebrate each other, no matter what we think about each other. We should celebrate each other because we are one ethnic group, one family of God, one nation under God. Okay, could you go now to Acts chapter 2? And I think this is very, very interesting. If you follow these kind of things through, we had read Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4. Now if we pick it up at verse 5. So they're all in the upper room. They all just got filled with the Holy Ghost. They're all speaking in other tongues. Oh, something to pick up in verse 4. I didn't catch it before. I'll give it to you now. Is the word other. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Other is heteros. It's the word in the Greek. It is not allos. Allos, the word allos means another tongue of the same kind. This is heteros. This is another tongue of a different kind. So this is definitely not one of the languages that we know on the earth. This is a other language of a different kind. And so people try to say, well, tongues is just speaking in some other language of another nation. It can be used that way, but it's not that. This is a heteros tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, what sound? Speaking in the heavenly language. So remember, at Babel, we lost the language. Now the Holy Spirit comes upon the children of God, and they begin speaking in the heavenly language again. So this is supernatural. This is a moment in history. This is a time when what Babel undid, God is redoing and banding his people, his nation, back together through their own heavenly language. Okay, so your eye is seeing in the door right now, knowledge, but will your heart rush in there and receive a revelation from God so you take it and you become a participant? I got to be a participant. I can't just read stuff. I got to know. You know, years ago, I was a part of a traditional, well, somewhat traditional church. We had the Spirit of God and stuff, but there were, you know, the denomination was kind of boxed in and it had its limits where it would go. And I started reading the book of Acts too much. And I really should have done it because it caused a lot of trouble. I kept reading the book of Acts and reading the book of Acts. What did these people have? What was going on? I got to have what they had. Hey, I said, I'm not a second-class Christian. I'm a Christian too. I said, God, what did these people have? So I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, these people in the book of Acts, look what they were doing. And so he said, just simmer down. Just simmer down. He goes, yes, just stay in order, stay in order. And I was like, okay, all right. Because I loved him. He was like a guy I was found. And he said, just follow me. And I didn't like what I saw. It isn't a problem for me because I love that man, but I wanted what that Bible told me I could have. And it brought conflict because I started going for the Bible. And pretty soon he was telling me, I don't want you teaching that out of the Bible anymore. The R book. Romans, because Romans is a liberation book. It teaches you all about who you are in Christ like nothing else can. And so he says, all right, stay out of that. We call it the R book from now on. So I couldn't teach. My class was growing like crazy. Once they started discovering some of these revelations, people were starting to learn about the potential they had in God. And people want to get where God wants to take them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That means you agree. Okay. So hang on to your seat. Because here's the language of God returning to the earth, the language that was lost at Babel. And he says, now, this is verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men and from every nation under heaven. These are all the nations God scattered all over the place, I suppose. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Confused. Babel confused them. Why were they confused? Because the language God confused them with didn't let them understand the true language anymore. And now they hear the true language from the believers and they're confused because they only have the earthly language. You got that? I'm not going to say it again. You're going to have to get that. So he says, and they were confused because everyone heard them in their own language. What? Okay, so it was a manifestation. It just wasn't confusion about the fact they didn't know that language, but it was also, why are we hearing that language and understanding in our own language? It's like an interpretation. It's like phenomenal. It's like they're hearing it, the sound of praying in tongues of the saints, and God's granting the hearers understanding about how they're glorifying God and what they're saying. And so every nation under heaven is now hearing the original language of heaven from God and understanding it. And this phenomenon caused a mighty rush of the people into be a part of this. It was an amazing moment in history. But I hope it doesn't stay historical. So they came together and were confused because everyone heard in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language, which we were born? Parthians, Medes. And it goes on. Look at this whole list. All verse 9, all verse 10. Verse 11, it says, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocked and said, they're full of wine. Man, if wine can do that, we better drink a bunch of it. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who are at Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the first hour of the day. Later on, they're going to be blitzed, but no, just kidding. Verse 16, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. 2,000 years ago was the last days, people. It was the end of an old covenant era and the beginning of a new covenant era. The last days aren't in front of us. The last days are behind us. This is the end of an old thing and the beginning of a brand new thing by the Spirit of God. It is come to pass in these last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Come on, young people. You got to see visions. Old men, you got to dream dreams. I'm starting to get that character because I'm dreaming dreams all the time. I think, all right, I'm not that old, Lord. But it's happening. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. There it is. God said, men and women. He's tearing down the division. He's tearing down the restriction. He's saying this is not about male-dominated ministry anymore. This Spirit's going to get on women and on men, and it's going to produce great, mighty things. And the language of heaven, the language of Elohim, is coming back upon my people, and it's going to cause the world to understand. That's exciting. All right, gotcha. Not in your head. So this is getting excited. There's like a motion in here. He says, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and fire and vapor and smoke, and sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great day. That's all symbolic talk. The sun turned to darkness, that's Jacob. The moon turned to blood, that's Rachel. Stars falling from heaven, that's the 12 tribes falling from heaven. Why? Because the natural Israel is being removed and the new kingdom age is beginning. The kingdom of God and the sons of God are going to become God's new representatives in the earth. This is a powerful moment. I'm returning my language to my people. It's really a very amazing proclamation. So if we... if you go to First Corinthians chapter 13, and so Paul is seeing all this unfolding, and he wants to instruct us about it. He wants us to see what this is all about, because sometimes in our denominations we've kind of been painted into a corner, and what all this means, and really it has become very much restricted to a certain way and a certain type. I remember the first time I got tongues, and I was like, shakatarabakatarabakia. I set up some stuff, and they said, okay, you got it, go home. And I was like, what'd I get? I didn't know what happened. I was like, but nobody was teaching us back in those days, back in the 80s, the early 80s, we were getting filled with the Spirit, and we didn't know what to do with it. We didn't know what it led to. We didn't know what it was about, so we just didn't do it much. And then we were part of a church. We're the tongue-talking church. Well, so what? Well, when you have the language of heaven, you have access, mighty access, to what's being spoken in the eternal realm. You could have insight and revelatory knowledge as you pray in the Spirit. The secrets of God's heart comes into your heart. You can talk to that realm, into that spiritual realm, and you can start to receiving infusion of power from heaven. It's like an amazing thing. If I can tell you, I do this all the time, and it's really easy. If I, for any time in my life, don't know what to preach or don't know what to do, I can just stop, drop, and roll, pray in tongues for about 10 minutes straight, flat out, burning hot, and it will come invading me like crazy. I'll see exactly what I'm supposed to do. I don't have to know anything. I can just pray in tongues. If I want to prophesy over everybody in the room, I just have to just go and pray for tongues for about an hour. I just start praying in tongues, talking in heavenly language, pictures, images, things start coming to me. I start getting filled up with ideas inside of me from heaven, and I get in the congregation, and then all of a sudden I can prophesy like I could never prophesy before, because I'm just getting infused, empowered, like it says in the book of Acts, that power will come upon you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to be walking around silent or mute or afraid to talk, but when the power got on me, I had to tell people at work. I had to tell people. I had to say something, because it was a supernatural disclosure from heaven. Okay, so this is what we're after. We need to become the church who's engaging God in the supernatural. Yeah. All right. I'm just really trying to figure out how to get a reaction out of you somehow. Look, I know it's not about a reaction. It's about using your faith, entering in. But if you don't see yourself moving into it, then you're going to be excluded from being used by it. God wants you to be a part of it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. So it says plainly, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Okay, so if you don't have love, then it's meaningless. We're not talking about doing this outside of love. Love, remember, love in the Bible is not love. Love in the Bible is agape. Love in the Bible does not mean love. God does not love the world the way we think of love. So we think, oh, God loves the world. Oh, my precious world. No, that's eros. That's not agape. God's not in love with the world. He loves the world. So he agapes the world. So you have phileo love, eros love, agape love. Phileo love is friendship love. I'm talking about the Greek. Eros love is romantic love. Agape love is covenant love. So when a couple gets to eros love, they're already madly in love. They already want to be with each other. They're always kissy-poo and all that stuff's going on. And God doesn't love the world kissy-poo. He wants covenant love. He wants to enter into covenant love with the world. So if you don't have covenant love, speaking in tongues isn't going to help you. Then you're going to have power and manifestations, but you're going to be neutralized because you don't have covenant love towards the body of Christ and covenant love towards the people according to God's will. All right? So just remember that. We're not saying set that aside. That's important. But if I'm going to operate in covenant love is unconditional love. That's where we got marriage vows, in sickness and health. No matter what comes, forsaking all others, it's covenant love. I'm going to be true to you for the rest of my life. That's why Christians are so easy to fail in marriage, because they don't even know what covenant love is. They still think it's eros love or phileo love. As long as it benefits me, I'm in. But when you go to covenant love, you're supposed to say, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm committed to you. And God's saying, I want you to be committed to me. And make sure that that's a priority. But he says, whether I speak in the tongues of men or angels. Can you say tongues of men or angels? Okay, so Paul's saying, I can speak in the tongue of angels. Cool. Any takers? In fact, I have definitely had times when I'm praying in tongues. And I feel stuff moving. It's like I'm in faith. God's got my attention. I'm wrapped up in the whole thing. And it's mushi ki pa sa ka pa. And I can feel stuff shifting around. It's like I'm preparing or doing something in the spirit. And I feel troops moving and activity happening and things flushing out. And whatever's blocking me gets out of my way. And all of a sudden I get a breakthrough. Should we say, so people come to church and go, Pastor, could you pray for me? I can't get a breakthrough. I can't get a job. All right, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the pastor to get prayed for, but I got something better than that. Pray in the heavenly language and shift things and move things in your life until they break in front of you. Yeah. And that's more exciting than anything. When I can make a difference, it's great. Now, I'm not saying there are times we don't feel weak or tired or weary or whatever, and we just need someone to pray for us. That's cool. But man, if you got to live like that, if it's every day, if it's every week, I'm back. I'm still tired. I'm still beat up. I'm still failing. And I go, oh, Lord, how long must I be with you? You know, it's like, but God wants us to have weaponry. God wants us to have ammunition. God wants us to have ability. And I'm here to tell you, praying in tongues is one of the most important things you could ever do in your life. There's almost nothing you could do that is even more important than that. Because you are talking to angels and God in the heavenly language, and they hear you. So I want to teach you something about prayer, if I could. Whenever you break paradigms, it feels uncomfortable. Don't be uncomfortable with me. Get uncomfortable with your paradigm. All right. So right now, I'm talking to Pastor Corey. Right now, I'm talking to Barry. Okay? But if I turn to God, now I'm talking to God. What do you think, Lord? That's called prayer. That's called talking. Prayer is not mystical. It's just in a different realm. Do you get that? So if you talk to flesh, you're talking. If you talk to God or to angels, you're praying. It's important to know, because if I speak in the tongue of angels, I'm praying. You understand? That's prayer. That's language in the heavenly realm. Angels of God talk that language. We're talking in that realm. Angels hear us. God hears us. You're becoming a part of what's going on. You're inserting. You're integrating. You're becoming a part of the purpose. With your natural eyes, with your natural ears, you can't perceive what's necessary sometimes. The Bible says you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Spirit helps our weakness by praying through us with unutterable language. In other words, they aren't terms that we pick. These are terms which come from the heavenly language into our mouth supernaturally. Okay? All right, now I want to show you in chapter 12. I don't know if you ever saw this before. I know I shared some of this with you at one time. I want to refresh your memory on this. There are three distinct different ways to pray in the heavenly language. And people don't usually know this. They haven't been taught this. I don't know why it's not known. It's right there in the Bible. It's plain as day. When I discovered it, I was like, wow, why aren't we teaching this? So I started teaching. I've been teaching this for a lot of years now. But I want you to have it because it's a part of your blessing. It's part of what you ought to own as a believer. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, now concerning the spiritual. Does yours say now concerning spiritual gifts? You see that? Now concerning spiritual gifts. That word gifts is not there. That's added by humans. It's not gifts. It's not about gifts. This is about the spiritual. It's about the spirit realm. Now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So Paul's saying, look, there's things going on in the spirit. And I don't want you to be ignorant about what's going on. If you can understand what's going on there, then you can access that and participate with what's going on there. So aren't you curious? He's like, wow, Paul, teach me what's going on in the Spirit. I want to know about it. I want to be a partaker of that which is going on in the Spirit. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. A dumb idol is a non-speaking idol. That means it doesn't talk. It's just a piece of wood. I like that scripture. It says, with one half of the log, they carve and bow down and worship their God. With the other half, they cook their meal. God laughs at them. That's really foolish. He says, you were carried away by these non-speaking idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So it says, now, this is the important, these three verses is where I want to focus it on. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So there's three things. Gifts, ministries, and diversities. Do you see that? Spirit, Lord, and God. Gifts, ministries, and diversities. So Paul's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. In the spirit realm, there's three separate, entirely separate operations that I want you to know about. The gifts, the ministries, and the operations. So we're going to look at those. So chronologically, it's gifts, ministries, operations. So let's look for evidence of the first, which is gifts. So he says verse 7. Well, verse 6 is very, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So just remember this. When you pray in tongues and when you move into the operation of the gifts and the ministries and the diversity, it is not for you that you do it. It's to release to others the benefit that's given to you. Okay? I always try to lead that in my thoughts. This isn't about me. This is about other people. I'm not trying to get a big head. I'm not trying to be the biggest power broker in the church. I'm going to be the best version of me that God ever made me to be, to help as many people as I can. And it doesn't make any difference how high they try to push you or how low they try to step on you. It's not about your reputation. It's not being superhero. It's about being supercharged to help people. Okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing individually as he wills. Okay? So there's the gifts. There's the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul says they don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. There's gifts. We just read the nine gifts. And there's ministries. And there's diversities. So that one we have been taught a lot about. We've spoken on it much in the church world. But the next two aren't so known. So then it goes on. I could read it all, but I think we'll skip some of it. verse 28. It says in verse 28, God has appointed these in the church. Now, this is the ministries, because remember, it's chronological. And chapter 14, you're going to see the diversities. But right here, you're going to see the ministries. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. This is talking about chronological establishment of these things in the Bible. You can follow through. God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Now, this miracles is about a worker of miracles. To me, this is about evangelists. They're workers of miracles, healings, manifestations. And then gifts of healings. Helps. Administrations or administrators. These are directors, governors, leaders of churches and of ministries. Varieties of tongues. All right, so I hope you've seen what I just saw. In the gifts category, the first category, you have speaking in tongues with an interpretation. In the ministry category, you have tongues. You see that? It's a different function. It's function number two that Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant about. He's saying that there's apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrators, and varieties of tongues. It's a different use of tongues. This is not the gift of tongues. This is the ministry of tongues. Did you see that? So this is really important that we understand the difference, because in the book of Acts, they all started speaking in tongues and everybody understood them in their tongue. That was a ministry of tongues. The tongues was used like as a ministry tool to invade every language so that they could understand the kingdom of heaven. That was amazing outpouring of the ministry gift of tongues. It was like a supernatural thing that took place. But in there's the third category, which is diversities. I want to show you that. But before we do, let's read. Finish reading that verse. It says, verse 29. All right, so I want you to answer this. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Well, see, we shouldn't be teaching people that everybody can work a miracle. Hey, Kenneth. Love you, brother. Good to see you. It says, are all workers of miracles? No, we shouldn't teach everybody they're all workers of miracles. But when the gift of the power of the Spirit comes upon you, you can have access to what you don't have a gift for. I don't have time to teach on that. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Oh. Not in this category. You understand? Do all have in the gifts category, do all speak in tongues with interpretation? No. In the ministry category, do all have the gift of tongues? No. That's the obvious answer. This is what I think has really confused a lot of people who are against speaking in tongues. But he says, well, the Bible says not all speak in tongues, and you shouldn't speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter. Yeah, it depends on which one you're talking about. Because in the diversity category, which is in 14, I want you to see it now, everybody speaks in tongues. It says in chapter 14 and verse 1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. That means he builds up himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now this verse 5, it says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But actually, the word wish in the Greek is desire. I desire. I don't wish. I desire. Who in the Bible wishes anything? God doesn't wish anything. He wants you to participate. And in the Greek it says desire. I give you permission. You can cross wish out. Put desire over it. I desire you all to speak with tongues. That's what Paul's saying. I desire you all to speak with tongues. And then it says, even more, that you may prophesy. And in the Greek it says, in order that you may prophesy. Whoa, that's a big difference. That's a massive difference. He said, I want you to speak in tongues in order to prophesy. Did you know that? So whenever I know I'm going to be in a situation I need to move in the prophetic, I just start praying in tongues too much. And then heaven starts bubbling right out of me. So I'm speaking in the heavenly language. And God's infusing me with mysteries and thoughts and ideas and things that I wouldn't normally be thinking about. And then it comes bubbling out of me. And that affects people's lives. One time, I was walking through work when I was still in the engineering department. And I was walking down the hall and I had been spending too much time with Jesus and praying in tongues too much. And I was on a break and I came back in. And there was this guy there sitting behind his station. And I had been witnessing to him for quite a while and had him right next to the edge of committing his life to Christ. And then all of a sudden one day he just went and cut me off. He would never talk to me again. It had been months and months and months. And I just respected that. I left him alone. And on this particular day, because I walk past him every single day at work, and I was going past him and I just, you know, just don't bother him. He just didn't want nothing to do with me. Keep his eyes down. I could see he's looking at me, but he didn't want to look at me. And on this day, I got to the edge of his table, and the Spirit said, stop. And I stopped. I'm like, uh-oh. And this is what you can't do humanly. The Spirit is released in your life prophetically by praying in tongues. It infuses it in you. And I stopped, and he looked up, and he goes, Chris? Hi. And he talked to me, first time in months. It's nice to see you. How you doing? And I'm still wondering why I'm stopped here, but I knew the Spirit said stop. And he goes, wow, it's amazing that you just stopped here. That's unbelievable. It is God. And I was like, wow, he's back to God. You know, we're back talking about God again. And I said, I only ever want to help you, brother. He goes, in a couple minutes, I'm leaving. No one knows I'm leaving. I resigned a few days ago, and this is my last moments in this company. I just can't believe you just stopped here. How did you know? I said, God's Spirit told me to stop because he wants you to know he sees you, and he's after your soul. And that guy crumbled. You can't do that. You cannot do that on your own. It's not humanly possible. He was given no signs. There was no information. The boss told nobody. He was sneaking out the door. But if you pray in the Spirit, the Lord will invade you with prophetic insight into situations in your life. Not just thus says the Lord to somebody, but active intervention prophetically into people's lives. Right? Another time, I was going up the road. I'm in my pickup truck. I'm driving. The windows are down. It's hot. It's beautiful. And I was so overwhelmed by God. I was just shouting in tongues in my car. And the whole car is full of them. I'm like, Lord, you are great. You're amazing. I was like on top of the earth. And I was just like, whoo. I was screaming and stuff. I said, take over. You know, I was just going crazy. Like climbing the earth for God and everything like that. And I pulled in my driveway and this dude in a pickup truck pulls right behind me. And I saw him. I get out. I said, hey. Oh, hey. Butch, how you doing? And it's my neighbor. And it was funny because his wife led Operation Rescue, rescuing women from aborting their babies at this church in Binghamton where the whole worldwide phenomenon came where they were fighting against abortion. It happened right in our community. And this is the husband of that lady. And he's not saved. And she's fighting for Christian principles. And he's like not into it at all. And he pulls in the driveway behind me. I said, Butch, what's up? Hey. And he goes, I don't know. I got sucked in here. I was like, oh, cool. So I was really getting excited. I thought, oh, he got sucked in. And I says, want to come in for a cup of coffee? Oh, okay. He gets out of his truck and a big pack of cigarette thing fell on the ground, a carton. He threw that in there. Oh, okay, Chris. And he's fine. He's kind of shaking. Coming out and said, hey, Marge, Butch is here. We walked out. She went, oh, my gosh, she's cleaned up. I said, let's have a cup of coffee. So he sat down, and I just started preaching Jesus Christ to him and talking to him about his salvation. And the man was undone completely. I want you to know, instead of trying to figure out strategies to reach your neighbor, instead of trying to figure out ways to talk to someone about Jesus, or how to say it nice or polite or whatever it is you're thinking in your worthless thought process, get the Spirit of God involved and supernatural happens. And that guy, if you can believe it, because God is so good to us, 2 weeks later, you know, he left and I prayed for him and he left. 2 weeks later, we ended up, someone invited us to church. We went to that church. I don't know why we went. It was crazy. Looking back, I think, why did we even receive that invitation? And we showed up, and we're in this kind of fairly big church, and this pastor gave an altar call. And people started going, and there he is, the guy, going forward to give his life to Christ. I said, yes, we're here. That's amazing. That's the only reason we were there. Afterwards, I hugged him. I said, congratulations. Great to see you. And he's my neighbor today, to this day. But would he have responded? If God didn't suck him into the parking lot, would he have responded if I wasn't busy praying in the Spirit and shouting things in the Spirit around and cooperating with the whole heavenly host? Do you not know you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? It's about time to learn the language of your home. You got to learn the home language. So you're the baby sitting there, and you're going, boo, boo, ba, 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 ba. Help me, please. Blah, 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 blah. You're like a baby, just trying to talk. But you got to learn the language. So what do parents do? Dada. 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 And pretty soon the kids go, dada. And she says, and she goes, mama, not daddy, I birthed you. And they say dada first because the dads work on it and the mothers are busy trying to keep them alive. And but you got to understand, God's trying to get you to speak in his language. Yeah. Come on, what's that? You're my children. I want to talk to you in the heavenly language. I want you to use your faith and believe that I'm with you. I want you to come before me. Not everybody has a gift of tongues. Not everybody has the ministry of tongues. But you all have the diversity of tongues. And you all, I desire all of you to pray in the Spirit. I desire all of you to pray in my language so that I can infuse you with the supernatural. Amen. Can you stand? You didn't think you were going to get away with me not praying for you or something. See, we have to, you know, a lot of people use the words activation. We have to have activation. I don't even like this activation. Where's that in the Bible? How about cooperation? Rather than activation, let's have cooperation. Question, are you bought with a price?
I am.
Throw your hand up and say, I am. I'm bought with a price. Okay, so everybody here is bought with a price. Okay, so what that means, in case you don't know, you don't own you. That means he bought you. You were headed the wrong way fast, me too, and I was headed for no man's land. That's a bad place. I don't want to be in the wrath of God. I don't want to be in the darkness of God. And he bought me. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. He goes, yeah, that's great. Welcome home, son. This is how the family works. Dada. And you go, Dada, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never leave me or forsake me. And as God grows us up, we start to realize what he's about, what he's like. I love everybody. I forgive people. I'm in covenant, God. Do you know, I was looking up today in the Hebrew, in the beginning, it says, so God created the heaven and the earth. That word God is a shepherd's cane and a bull's head. That's what they call God. That's some God. Bull's head means powerful. Shepherd means shepherd. The rod means shepherd. He's a powerful shepherd who created the heavens and the earth. And later on, the same God is called a bull's head, a shepherd's rod with a yoke. He's the powerful shepherd who prefers to do life yoked together with others. Created all this stuff. And so he's going, Dada, shepherd's rod. Dada, bull's head. Dada, yoke. And you're my dad. He goes, all right, I'm going to take it. So little by little, as you grow as a Christian, you're learning how to trust the invisible God who brought you into this world, who birthed you by his spirit, who gave you his word. He's teaching you everything. And little by little by little, guess what? You become like him. How? Not by seeing him, but by faith, because he is a God of faith. Now you're a child of faith. He's developing you in the darkness so that you can have faith. Faith is for a world, what you cannot see, and it's not for what you can see. If he shows himself to you, you can't be a child of faith. But he's developing faith in us. And he says, oh, by the way, I have a language. And you might be 20 years in Christ, you might be 50 years in Christ, and all of a sudden you're like, there's a heavenly language? Oh, yeah, tongues. Oh, I didn't know it was that. Oh, yeah, that's the language that God spoke to Adam. That's the language he changed at Babel. That's the language he gave back to the children of God so that they could know the deep things of God. And we don't even know about it. Yeah. Oh, you mean that thing I did a shundable one day back there at the church? That's important? Yeah. A shundable. A shundable. Bika, bora, baka, zaka. And the more you spend time with God, the language bubbles out of you, overflows on you. I'm telling you something. There's times when I've been praying in tongues, I could hear everything I'm saying in the heavenly language in my understanding. There was one time when I was building my house years ago, 2002, 2003, and I was building my house, and the guys got sick of waiting for me for permitting because I was so busy building. And they said, well, we're coming to your house, and we're going to pray. I said, all right, come on, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be there. I was there from 6 to 6 every day, 6 days a week, building the house. And they showed up. We had a little 55-gallon drum with old cut-up firewood in there, or cut-ups from the build. Burn it, just keep warm because it was freezing. And we're around the fire. And we're going around the fire. And every day, 6 in the morning, 6 in the morning, 6 in the morning, these guys were nuts, coming out there, meeting me in the dark, praying in tongues. And same as every other day, no different than any other day. Didn't feel anything special. I'm just praying in tongues. The guy next to me goes, Boko Riyandarama. And an echo came straight off of his words in English. And I totally understood exactly what he was saying. I was like, whoa, I've never had that happen before. Not like that. It wasn't an interpretation in my head. It was a sound in my ear from what he was saying. I understood Acts chapter 2 when they all understood them in their own language. I was like, whoa. And as I listened to the other guys, I realized I understand what he says. 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 And I said, guys, I understand what you're saying. Tongues. I was like freaking out. I was like, this is amazing. It's never happened to me before. I said, do you know what you're saying? And I told the guy what he said. He started weeping. Oh, my God. And each guy went around telling him exactly. I said, go ahead and pray. And the guy started praying. I was just interpreting why he's saying it. I was like, this is bizarre. I hope this sticks around. This is like great. For a month or so. Anybody praying tongues next to me, I knew exactly what they're praying and saying. It was nuts. All right, so all I'm trying to tell you, there's more available to us than we have ever tapped into or have ever known. And it's not about struggling. It's not about trying to figure out a quick fix solution for the earth. It's about hearing what the Father has planned for all those he loves. And if I can hear, I can do. If I can see, I can do. You know, even Jesus, what did he say? He says, I can do nothing unless I see the Father do it. wow, that's Jesus. If he can do nothing and not see the fire do it, I'm hopeless. But he did see what the Father wanted him to do and did it. That means I can see what the Father wants me to do. And one of my tools, one of my important tools is speaking in tongues. Speaking in the language of Elohim. Speaking in the language of God. Do you agree? Okay, so step one is you have to receive the language of heaven. You have to receive the Holy Ghost. That's step one. Okay? I know that I know there's people here that don't speak in tongues. And it's like God wants you to have it. It's not difficult. It's imparted. Simon the sorcerer who was vexing the people and had them under his control, when Peter came along and John, they broke the power off of that man. And that man was out from under that sorcery gift. And then he saw that Peter, through the laying on of his hands, could impart the Holy Ghost to people. He says, here's money. Give me that gift. I want that gift. He knew that gift was so powerful that he would spend money to purchase it. And we think it's so weak, we don't even use it. So a sorcerer who has eyes to see in the spirit realm saw the incredible power and value of that gift. Wow. All right, who's coming? Come on, if you want to receive the Spirit, come, and I'll get the touch of God on your life, and the power of the Spirit will begin to move inside of you, and you'll have access. Now, the rest of you, if you haven't been moving in the Spirit, then you might as well just come as well. And if you haven't been moving in it, you haven't been operating, then you should just say, I'm going to get myself under this thing. I need it in my life. I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh, it's almost like I'll pour some juice inside. I'll pour some juice inside of you. Like it's like starter fluid in your engine. Get you back rolling again. So, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so what I'd like you to do, I know you want to pray, but don't touch anybody right now, okay? Just don't touch them. Just if you stand back just a little bit, stay there by faith. I want you to stay by faith, but I just don't want you to interfere with what's about to happen.